Good day, everyone. My name is Aurelia Proškutė. I'm the head of the Applied Macroeconomic Research Unit at the Bank of Lithuania. And here today with me, there are two researchers from the Bank of Lithuania, Valentin Juvanso and Ieva Mikaliūnaitė. Valentin is also a member of the Applied Macroeconomic Research Unit at the bank, and Ieva is an economist at the Systemic Risk Modeling Unit at the bank. Today, we are talking about their joint paper, Euro Area Monetary Communications and the Excess Sensitivity and Perception Shocks. Very exciting and interesting topic related to monetary policy. My question to you, so why is this subject of interest? How did you come up with this topic and this research idea?
So during my PhD studies, I have been interested in analyzing the effects of spillovers in the euro area. And in particular, I was interested in those that emerge from financial sector. In one of my research works, I showed how in times of the sovereign debt crisis, so in times of high stress, systemic risk in the financial markets tend to be confined to so-called periphery euro area countries, indeed the ones that have experienced more severe sovereign debt crisis. Valentinas, meanwhile, he has a continuing interest in the effects of monetary policy shocks. So this subject, and in particular this research project, is at the crossroads. We started this project from the hypothesis that the effects of monetary policy shocks in the euro area could be heterogeneous between the core and the periphery countries. This is a possibility that has occupied researchers for years. However, there is no consensus on it. Our analysis is innovative, and we hope that it will shake up the preconceptions on this subject.
What were the main obstacles and difficulties in this analysis?
I would say that the main one is that monetary policy shock objects that are simply not observable. So they must be estimated because there is in macroeconomics, no natural experiments. If we search, you can find that the most attractive method is to investigate the consequences of this shock on data. What does it mean? That theoretically, money market interest rates are the main drivers of monetary policy shock. And to be clearer, let me give you an example. When the ECB announced a decrease in its main refinancing rates, then what we expected that short-term market interest rate should decrease, and then its effect should dilute along the risk, what to call the risk-free yield curve. However, this pattern is really hard to obtain in the data. Sometimes there is no correlation. And in particular, if we check the low-frequency data, so let's say monthly or quarterly, there is frequent episode in which the short-term and the long-term rates are really, really uncorrelated. Then there is a problem. Unless one assumes that monetary policy are ineffective and then do not dilute on long-term rates, or there is an issue, there is a problem that lies in the measurement of the monetary policy shock. And indeed, the researcher realized that the key to find causality is to separate the central bank action that were anticipated from those that were unanticipated. So in doing so, monetary policy shock should be retrieved from the unexpected component of the policy action of the central bank. So we follow this principle and we innovate by examining the heterogeneous effect of the ECB communication through different proxy, let's say, or measure of unexpected ECB action.
Can you tell me a bit more about these proxy measures?
We obtain these measures from the Euro Area Monetary Policy Event Study Database, which was built by academic researchers Altavilla and co-authors in 2019. And the authors, they collected the data on approximately 180 ECB monetary communications between 2002 and 2018. And they assumed that unexpected actions by the ECB should be reflected in the movements in financial asset prices around these communications. Now, to ensure that a price deviation was indeed the product of the communication, what the authors did, they selected asset price movements within a tiny time window of about 30 minutes around the communication. Fortunately, the ECB communications are scheduled in advance, and usually the Governing Council takes its monetary policy decisions every 6 weeks. And these communications, they always start with the publication of a document at 1:45 p.m. And then it is followed by a conference with questions and answers to journalists at 2:30 p.m. So the authors, they collected the observed price differences of many assets just before and just after the publication of the document and just before and after the conference. And then these are the inputs for identifying the ECB monetary policy shocks.
So you are using using the previously built database. What is your contribution then with it?
Our contribution is in the identification of these shocks, so of ECB monetary policy shocks. So the researchers that built this database that we use had identified shocks through assets that can be categorized as risk-free. They found the existence of, for example, a forward guidance or quantitative easing shock. And simply speaking, they study assets suggesting that monetary policy shocks have homogeneous impacts across the euro area. All of this is really standard, and these are really, you can say, expected results. However, closer look at the raw data indicates that certain types of risky assets have frequent and significant price changes around the communications as well. And in particular, we observe strong disparities in the price changes between sovereign bonds in the core and periphery euro area countries. And I need to mention that in our analysis, the core countries are represented by Germany and France. The periphery countries are represented by Italy and Spain. Of course, observing the recurrences on the raw data is not sufficient to ensure that these deviations are the product of monetary shocks. And we therefore, in our working paper, propose a new identification method.
Can you tell us more about this new identification method?
First of all, it is important to underline that rather than assuming ourselves that monetary surprises can have this kind of heterogeneous effect, we use statistical tests to prove it. So in each communication window, I mean in the press release and in the press conference windows, these tests assume that data have a factor representation. And the factors are estimated using the principal components of the data. And as the result, different dimensions of the data are denoised and they are orthogonal to each other. Then the factors are rotated, that each of them represents a distinct dimension of monetary shock or what is called surprise in the literature. Of course, this is a brief explanation and all the details are in the working paper.
So how many factors, how many surprises do you find?
In total, we find three for the press release window and four for the press conference window. And four of them were found initially by Altavilla and co-authors in 2019. These factors, they are linked to the risk-free yield curve. But we discovered two new dimensions in the release window and one in the conference window. All of these three new dimensions have effects mainly on bonds with long maturities. So one of them has exclusive effects on the end of the risk-free interest rate curve. But in order to keep a touch of mystery for the listener, for more details, I invite you to read the working paper. However, as for the other two new factors, they indicate heterogeneous effects in both the press release and the press conference windows. And such effects of monetary surprises on long-term interest rates are really unusual. This is why our paper is entitled Excess Sensitivity.
What are the impacts of these new monetary surprises on the market interest rates?
Overall, how monetary surprise explains the majority of change in the yield curves at any maturity, whether it is risk-free or risky. So all the coefficients when we run regression are essentially significant at the 1% threshold. And as Eva said, having found a set of new monetary surprise allows us to explain the variation of the end of the risk-free as well as the risky yield curves. And the latter was not documented in the literature before. In parallel, we also find that the previous estimate in the literature, which were primarily focused on short and medium-term rates, were, somewhat distorted by this, what I call background signal, so our new monetary policy shock that we identified. So in other words, or in simple words, we can say that the entire maturity spectrum of the bonds is important for correctly assessing the effect of monetary surprise.
Can you tell us how much of the variance in the yield curve these three additional factors that you uncover explain?
The two factors in the release window explain about 55% of the total variance, and the factor in the conference window explain about 15% of the total variance. But then I would like also to add something. Some this surprise of factor our discoveries. So of course, as it is new, we had to give a name to them. So for the release window, we call the two factors duration union and the sovereign spread. And for the conference window, we call it Save the Euro. So we chose this name because this was already discussed in a previous paper by a US researcher. To understand why we gave this name, I would say that the listener can again refer to the working paper.
So any idea of how these monetary surprises affect the real economy?
Here we are working with what we call high frequency data. So this is mainly daily data and estimated impacts of these shocks on low frequency data such as GDP, inflation, unemployment is somewhat complicated because of the mix of frequencies. We try to get around this problem by using high frequency proxy for inflation and for the real economy stock price. And the effect of our new factors on inflation and stock price are really at first glance, really surprising. First, their effects are small on inflation and very large on stock prices. This indicates that monetary policy shocks can have real effect well beyond the short-term rates. If we look at classical theory in finance and macroeconomics, this finding is really, really surprising. And second, the reaction of inflation and stock price are the opposite of what the textbook in monetary policy shock would predict.
How do you rationalize these results?
Such like that is really, really surprising. And we were a bit struggled to explain that. And we didn't think that the problem was in the data. And then we searched in the literature, and there are very recent and influential researchers that shed light on this phenomenon, like the paper of Nakamura and Steinsen in 2018, or recently a working paper by two researchers in Harvard, Plovger and Rinaldi. And these scholars find that some monetary communication can be interpreted by investors as not monetary news, but rather macroeconomic news. To be clearer, what are the differences? I will give you an example. So suppose that investors, in the view of their macroeconomic projection, anticipate a wave of quantitative easing. So in the following monetary ECB communication, then imagine that the ECB states that no QE, quantitative easing, will be performed. As a result, investors that had anticipated the QE have to backtrack on all the action that they did, or this can be seen as a monetary policy contraction. So this contraction should lead, if we follow a textbook, to an increase in the long rates and a simultaneous decrease in inflation and stock price. But however, what we find in the data is that in the time of the recent crisis, so the sovereign debt crisis and the Greek financial crisis, that this unexpected absence of quantitative easing is often not decreasing, but increasing inflation and stock prices. So this is really the opposite, and again, really puzzling. So in that respect, this researcher proposed that an unexpected monetary communication is not always what a textbook described as a monetary policy shock. This has been called information shocks, so the macroeconomic information shocks. So if we take my example again of QE, but know things differently, suppose that this unexpected absence of QE gave them a macroeconomic information. This absence signaled to investors that the ECB expect that the economy will be stronger than themselves they had anticipated. And that's why inflation and stock price react positively this time. But no, again, and really surprisingly, we also found that there is frequent market reaction that cannot stick to either monetary or information shocks. So in my previous example of the absence of QE, the main assumption was always been that investor learned something from the central bank, either a monetary or a macroeconomic information. Imagine that the main thing that investor learned is that their monetary or macroeconomic vision is the total opposite of what the ECB reveals. And there the story is different, because when we were reading reaction after monetary communication or during monetary communication, we found many times, let's say in the Financial Times, that investors show sometimes strong disagreement or they are really disappointed. And beyond that, we noticed that some market price reactions are actually reflecting this disagreement or disappointment. To gauge the effect of what it would produce in the market, let me have a new example. There were, in July 2012, a speech by the former governor of the ECB, Mario Draghi, that surprised everyone. Because during this conference, that was not a monetary conference, he pledged to do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. And after those words, the majority of investors, you could expect, they were like, okay, there will be a really strong monetary response to, in that time, was the sovereign debt crisis. During the following monetary conference, the Italian and the Spanish 10-year bond yields skyrocket. So it does mean that it went in the complete opposite direction of what it should have been if they were QE.
Why was it so?
Well, during this conference, Mario Draghi partly went back on what he said. Especially, there is a journalist that was asking to him, was it really necessary to make that speech at that time in London? To which Mario Draghi responded, have you read my speech? Had you read it, you would have seen that there is no reference whatsoever to a bond buying program. And the word was there. Investor who had anticipated a really strong response of the ECB through, let's say, a program of quantitative easing were strongly disappointed. And I would say they were literally stunned. And as a result, what we've seen in the data is that the investor back off enormously. The sovereign spread exploded and expected inflation fell sharply, as well as stock price. And this type of event is what we call in our paper the perception shocks. And this is not a single event, and many of them and are present, are way more frequent after 2012 and after the words of Mario Draghi.
Can you tell us a bit more what's next? What would be your next topics, future directions of research you would like to explore?
So I think that there are two aspects that of interest to us. So first of all, our analysis stops in 2018. So of course, it does not take into account the recent events, and it would be interesting to see how investors reacted to the massive ECB support at the time of COVID. Secondly, the findings of new types of shocks is an important step forward. However, it is essential to understand the nature of these new types of shocks. Although some theoretical work has been done on this subject, still much remains to be done. So this will probably inspire us for the future.
So thanks a lot for your time today. Thank you, Yava. Thank you, Valentin. Have a nice day.